This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's messenger of truth. So America, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to John chapter 6, verse 31, where we left off last time. John chapter 6, verse 31. Now, last time, Jesus had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. And after that, Jesus went across to the other side walking on the water while his disciples took a boat. I always say to you, if you can't walk on water, take a boat, but at least get to the other side. Now, when he got there last time, the same crowd that had eaten all that bread were meeting him there, and he was going to teach them. But listen to this. They just came for some more breaded fish. They were not there for the spiritual food. They just wanted another bag of groceries. They came to Jesus for the stuff. And then they said, "Show us a sign that you're the Messiah." And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "I'm not giving you any sign, you evil and adulterous generation, except the sign of Jonah the prophet, who was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So we begin right there with these people who only want breaded fish and not the food from heaven.
31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.
Now you see, manna is angels' foods. That's Deuteronomy 16, right in there, when God rained down manna from heaven, angels' food. But as you can see, these people are not looking for spiritual food. They came for the stuff. They just want some more groceries. So they're saying, Moses gave us some bread from heaven. See, it really wasn't Moses, but they think that. So why don't you give us some more groceries? How many Christians just go to Jesus for the stuff? When will you stop that and go to him for himself?
32. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily,
of a truth,
say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven."
That wasn't Moses.
"But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven."
And in other words, the true bread is standing right before them, but all they can think about is their tummies. As Paul says, the God is in their belly. They just want the stuff. See, most Christians say, "Pray for me that I'll get this, I'll get that, I'll get the other. Give me some money, give me a new job, give me the person, give me a promotion, give me this." How about give me God? How about a closer, more intimate relationship with him? How about I can suffer and give everything I have away so I can win souls to Jesus and get the word of God out? How about that? How about you give him yourself, people?
33. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world.
And of course, Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. Hebrews 2:14.
34. Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." 35.
They say, "Give us the bread, fill up our grocery bag, give us the bread so we all get the free stuff and we never have to buy food again." See? Some people's eyes are just permanently closed. They just don't get it. They just think that God is about giving something to them.
Said unto them, "I am the bread of life."
I am that I am. Moses at the burning bush, Hebrew, Aya, Asha, Aya. I am that I am. I am that I will become. Oh boy, the great I am, the bread of life, is standing in front of them. Listen to what he says.
"He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst."
Now, Jesus is speaking on third level here. Why does Jesus use the analogy of bread? Because in the natural, we have to have bread that represents food to eat. But Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man lives by every word of God. So he's talking about spiritual bread. So what does the bread symbolize? The word of God. Again, Matthew 4:4, man lives by every word of God. Proverbs 4, round about verse 20, my son, attend to my voice, incline thine ears unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to all those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So, we also know that Jesus is the Word, because in John 1:1, all of you know it by now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, get it this way. The bread he's speaking of is the Word, and the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is standing right before them. Remember, the Word existed before the flesh body existed, before a book called the Bible existed. Now, in Ezekiel saw a flying scroll. What is a scroll? A scroll is the Word of God. It's the bread. It's the Word. A scroll is the bread from heaven. A scroll is the Word of God. The scroll is Jesus. Why was it flying through the air? Because God is omnipresent. God is everywhere all at the same time. Why is a scroll flying? Because not only is Jesus the Word, he's the light, and he travels at the speed of light. Scott Merson, in his beautiful picture scripture video, shows a picture of a scroll, and it travels at the speed of light. So now we understand that scroll is there. Isaiah says, the Word shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. The Word of God is always, always talking to you. But it's like my radio program. Unless you tune in the right frequency, you don't get me, but I'm here. Do you understand? So the Word of God is flying through the air on a scroll, and it is flowing out, but you have to summon the scroll. So let's summon the scroll. How do we summon the scroll to come and pour itself down, the Word of God, the bread of heaven on us? Here's how we do it. The same way you were going to eat. If you're going to eat bread, you open your mouth, right? Now, if you're going to summon the scroll to come down and pour out the bread that you need in your circumstance, you will have to open your mouth and speak the Word of God. And God says in Jeremiah 1, when I hear my word, I perform my word. And that's why he said in Isaiah 43:20, he said, put me in remembrance of my word. Come and talk to me about my word. See, word produces movement, sound, and sound produces movement. So now, we're going to call forth those scrolls flying in the air because we want to summon them so that they come down into your situation. We're now going to walk in the Word. We're now going to summon the scrolls, which are the Word of God, the bread of heaven, traveling at the speed of light. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want you to say this after me. Let us just say that you need protection. You're going on a trip, your truck, your car, your airplane, whatever, and you need protection. So everybody, let's say, it is written in Jesus' name.
It is written in Jesus' name.
Psalm 34:7.
Psalm 34:7.
The angel of the Lord.
The angel of the Lord.
Encamps around about.
Encamps around about.
Them that fear him. And delivers them. Okay. Now, see, the flying scroll will come. God says it performs his word. So the scroll came and fed you that you don't hunger there anymore. Now, let's say that you are sick or you're praying for someone who's sick. All right? It is written in Jesus' name.
It is written in Jesus' name.
Malachi 4.
Malachi 4.
O son of righteousness.
O son of righteousness.
Arise.
Arise.
With healing in your wings.
With healing in your wings.
In the Hebrew, wings means laser beams. Laser beams of light. Okay, now the scroll has flown into where your body is hungering for healing. All right? Let's just say demons and things are after you. They've been under an attack. They're in your air conditioner. They're in your duplicating machine. They're in your garage. They're everywhere you go. Okay? It is written in Jesus' name.
It is written in Jesus' name.
Luke 10:19. Jesus gives me power.
Jesus gives me power.
Over scorpions.
Over scorpions.
Over serpents.
Over serpents.
That's devils and demons.
Devils and demons.
And nothing shall by any means hurt me. Okay, let's just say that you've had enough and you can't take it anymore. Anybody feel that way sometimes? I've had enough, I can't take it anymore. It is written in Jesus' name.
It is written in Jesus' name.
1 Corinthians 10:13.
1 Corinthians 10:13.
God does not give me more than I can bear.
God does not give me more than I can bear.
But will with the trouble.
But will with the trouble.
Maybe make a way.
Make a way.
That I may be able.
That I may be able.
To bear it. Okay, see, the scroll has flown because the scroll is the word, and Jeremiah 1, God says, when I hear my word, I perform it. The reason you don't get yours, you don't call the word of God. You don't call the scroll to come and fly. You call somebody on the telephone and tell them your troubles. Okay, so one more thing. Let's say you've had a bad day and you need a God hug. Now, if you never had a God hug, you don't know what hugging is. Okay. It is written in Jesus' name.
It is written in Jesus' name.
Song of Solomon.
Song of Solomon.
His left hand is under my head.
His left hand is under my head.
His right hand doth embrace me.
His right hand doth embrace me.
There we have it.
Amen.
36. But I say unto you, but ye also have seen me, and believe not.
These were the phony church leaders, and they didn't even realize who he was. All they wanted was some more breadsticks and fish sticks.
37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
Now, Jesus has just offended. Jesus is not politically correct, thank goodness. What he's saying is here, you're not the ones God's given me. Who are these people? Self-centered, me, myself, and I. It's all about me, my four, no more, my request. I go to church so I'll get something. And so these are the kind of people. So Jesus does have 12 other people listening. And one of those people is going to write a book that some of us are studying here today, the Gospel of John. Jesus is now speaking of his very elect. And Ephesians 1:4 says, chosen from before the foundation of the earth. Now, chosen means given a mandate, required, selected, preferred, and favorite. Foundation means Satan's capital, the overthrow in the first earth age. And the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, world is age. Lucifer, Isaiah 14 said, I will be God. And he deceived one-third of God's children. Revelation 12, the stars follow the dragon. The dragon is a devil. Stars, children of God, minus the flesh. One-third of God's children were in a spiritual body, sat there and watched the show. Lukewarmers, that makes God sick to his stomach. He throws you, vomits you. But there was one-third, Revelation 12, that got up and fought with the archangel Michael against the dragon and his children. And they are called the very elect, chosen, preferred. Now, in Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, stayed married, that crew that did not betray him then in the first earth age, very elect, he said he did predestinate. Then he goes on to say, predestinate, he called, and he justified. Judged then, found not guilty. But Ephesians 1:4 says he gave that group, because he could trust that small group, a mandate. Everybody else he sent out one time in the flesh with free choice, free will to choose Jesus or to choose the devil again. But that group is not of the same group. They are a remnant. In every generation, there's been a remnant. These people, John is one of them, Paul. And now the very end, the very elect, the first shall be last. The ones that fought the hardest and got up the first are the very last here. And we are here to get the oracles of truth out to the world. And we are here, the generation of the fig tree, to be delivered up to Antichrist. So once again, the truth will be heard and God can trust us. Now, we learned Wednesday night, because it was the same subject there in the book of Jonah. Everybody else has free will. Whosoever will may come. all of those other two-thirds come out generation after generation after generation, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, through their mother's womb, and somewhere they get a chance if they want to choose Jesus or the devil. But not the elect. The elect do not have free choice. They were chosen. They were given to God. He says, my own know me. Remember, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and no other voice will they hear. In other words, it's a mandate. The elect are not here about family or cars or jobs or dogs or trucks. You may be in that. That may be a part of it. But you're here on assignment, and you were sent and chosen right then. Do you understand? And you were given to him. Jesus said in John 17:17, Father, I pray for them. They are not of this world. They are in the world, but they are not of this world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but I ask that you will keep them from the evil of the world. So those who stayed faithful were given as the wife of God to come out in every remnant, in this very one, the very elect, this last generation. We are the generation of the fig tree. And so therefore we're given to God, and that is our assignment. And if an elect tries to disobey and not turn on a dime, God spanks you really fast because he loves you and he needs you. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is talking about the very elect.
38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me.
Now, he explains why the elect do not have free will. Everybody else does. Remember, we were chosen then, and that we were set on assignment. Now, Jesus, God, never asked us to do anything that he will not do. When Satan rebelled, and we were in our spiritual body, and that was high treason in heaven, God said to Elohim, God and his angels, the children of God, all of us, he said, let us make man in our image. Let us make you a flesh body with the personality and nature you have now and come through once in the flesh. But he said, I will do the same thing. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I will give myself a body. So Jesus is saying, as the elect did not come to do their will, they're chosen and have a mandate to tell the truth, and the latter ones to stand to Antichrist. Jesus did not come to do his will. He is King of Kings. He could have set up his kingdom. He came to die. That was God's will. And he came to do his will. And elect, you are sent on a mission. And right now, the will is, we're the last ones to be delivered up to Antichrist. He's coming to that in a moment.
39, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing.
Oh, he's talking about the very elect. Now, Jesus says in Luke 12 that there is an unpardonable sin, and it's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and it will not be forgiven in this lifetime nor in the one to come. Then he goes on to explain that only the very elect here at the end, when the Antichrist comes, can commit that. Because when you, the elect, when we are delivered up to Antichrist, Jesus says there that we are not to premeditate what we're to speak. This time you don't study. But the Spirit of my Father, the Holy Spirit, will speak through you in a language like Acts 2, the whole world will hear. And then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world, and the devil's praying for the airtime, that's it. Now, see, if an elect, when you're delivered up to Antichrist, which is the greatest, highest, holy calling of all, when you're delivered up, if you refuse to let the Holy Spirit speak through you, that is the unforgivable sin, and only an elect can do that, because you're the ones who are going to be delivered up to Antichrist. Now, what did he say then? I will lose none of them. Here's what I have understood from this. I know that just a couple of Sundays ago, I had fought for my life in here. Demonic forces came in here, and everything about me was drained, and there's so many things coming at me from all over the place, and physically drained, emotionally drained, spiritually drained. And so when everybody left, that was about all I had in me. And I walked around the room, and the demonic forces had gone, and there were 25 of them leering at me. I see things like that. Something came on me. I held up my hand in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, and I shoot them all away. I commanded them all going when they went. I could not do that in my flesh. What happened? The Holy Spirit took over and did it for me. The Holy Spirit is your paraclete, he's your helper, and he will do what you cannot do. I truly believe that if you are an elect, I say if you are an elect, that when that happens, that he will help you so much that he'll compel and overtake you because he loves you and he does not want you to commit the unpardonable sin. But I wouldn't bank on that. I would say if you think you're an elect, you better start tonight. Don't ever pray your prayer again. From now on, let it be wild and crazy. Don't try to make it pretty. Don't try to impress people. Just let the Holy Spirit pray it through you. That's the only kind of prayer that gets up anyway. He'll intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. Don't ever say anything without the Holy Spirit. Don't ever go anywhere or do anything or give anything or sing anything. Learn to let him live his life in you. Let's practice now for the big moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But to raise up again at the last day.
Now, raise up means going to lift up. He's going to allow us to be lifted up. We will be on nationwide television. The whole world will see that when we delivered up. The last day would be the last, when the Antichrist comes, that's about the last, that'll be the last time of time as we know it. Like we say, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Because as soon as the seventh trump sounds, Jesus comes, and time is not going to be like it was anymore. We won't have to watch our clocks. That'll be the day of the Lord. So these are the last times. We're in the fifth trump now, a time of learning. It's coming to an end. Antichrist is about to come. His time has been shortened for the elect's sake to 5 months, Revelation 9. And somewhere toward the end of that, that will be the last day of time as we know it. And we'll be raised up and lifted up. What a high and holy calling. You should look in your mirror and say, thank you, God, that you chose me.
40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Twice for emphasis, last day. Okay, what's he talking about? The whole world, Revelation 13, is going to worship the Antichrist. Anti doesn't mean a bad guy. He's not Hitler. He's going to be a savior. God saveth thee, Sodom, coming in the sky with his fallen angels, saying peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. He's going to make peace in the world. And everybody's going to call him savior. The deceived part of the Christian church who do not understand the chronological order of events of the trumps are going to think he's Jesus. And so therefore they are going to be deceived. And this is the very difficult part. Let's get the rest of this.
41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven.
Okay, let's go back to that. When those Christians and all the world worships the Antichrist, calling him Savior, they will have seen the face of the false Christ. They are not waiting to see the true Christ who comes at the seventh trump. But the elect will wait and endure to the end. And then we will be able to gather around Jesus right here on planet Earth. And we'll see him face to face. And he will smile on us and say, well done. Do you understand?
Yes.
So the others have not seen his face. They've looked to the face of the wrong one. Now, what about these Jews? You know by now that's an incorrect word in English. It's always Iudas in the Greek. It either means our beloved brother Judah, who is one of the 12 tribes. He's Hebrew. I am of the tribe of Levi. I'm Hebrew. So he's my brother. Or it means a Kenite, K-E-N-I-T-E, a descendant of Cain. Cain being the child of the devil. Well, these are the children of the devil. These are the phony priesthood. They don't even know who he is. They don't know the Bible.
42. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?
Have you ever noticed that the people who lie the most, who are the most corrupt, call their opponent what they are? So what they're saying, Joseph, you are the product of an illegitimate, illicit sex act. See, you know Mary and Joseph had that stigma all their life. Well, we know that Joseph was not Jesus' father. Mary was overcome and overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, impregnated. God, the Almighty God, was Jesus' father. But these people have to dig it into him.
How is it then that he said, I come down from heaven?
Who do you think you are, you illegitimate son?
43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmurest among yourselves?
Are you murmuring there?
44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him.
Okay. When you are praying for someone to be saved, the first thing to do is ask the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And then you ask the Father to draw that person to God by the Holy Spirit through the Son. See, you can't get saved just any time you want to. I've witnessed to so many thousands of people. I've had people say, I'm going to get saved, but I'm going to have fun and live it up in the world first. You might not get a chance to do that. So the Father must draw them. And once again, he's talking about his elect. The elect, when an elect hears the real truth, you are helpless to resist it. Something happens to you, you know it. It's in your DNA. And suddenly your life changes, you have a whole new perspective, you've got a whole new purpose and a whole new reason to be. You might go around the other things, but there's an energy about you, there's a purpose about you that not the gates of hell can knock out of you. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus means. My own come to me.
And I will raise him up at the last day. 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me.
And that would be the book of Isaiah. Jesus now says that these elect who are going to wait for him, when he comes at the seventh trumpet, we do the body change, 1 Corinthians 15:52, we shall all change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the day of the Lord. The very elect who overcome and that remnant that he's bringing back with him, we shall teach the word of God for 1,000 years, and a day with the Lord is 1,000 years in our spiritual bodies. Ezekiel 44 says the elect, called the Zadok there, the teachers, we will teach the clean, the difference between the clean and the unclean, and all shall be taught of the Lord. It will be complete teaching, and the word shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. Praise you, the Lord. I hope you were blessed.
Amen.
Okay, well, it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome my twin friend, Scott Mercer. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, Miss Sherry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have our first question here. Someone wants to know, are the parents of the God's elect also elect?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, and usually not. An elect, God does put him in families so that they might have the DNA of their father and the DNA of their mother, characteristics that God needs to have that in the elect. But the elect has to learn early in life. I learned it as a little girl reading books, hiding behind chairs, that I was in this thing by myself and I had to learn to lean on God. An elect has to learn to depend on God, because that's why we're sent. We're in the world, we're not of the world. So it's really an honor, but it can be rather lonely.
Yeah, and that's easier said than done.
Yes, too, absolutely.
That dependency. Our next question comes, Jesus said in Matthew 10:26, nothing hidden that shall not be made known. Can you explain that, please?
Yes, in the first part of that Matthew there says, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hidden that shall not be made known. Third level, he is talking here about the very elect. That has been the lesson tonight, the very elect. We are called the hidden ones, Zephaniah, hidden ones. I mean, that doesn't mean that we're working in the vineyard. We're winning souls. We're getting the truth out. We're generating energy. We're healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. But to the world, at this point, we're hidden. He hides us secretly in his pavilion. But it means at the appointed time, at the very end, the very elect, the time for us to get this truth out to the world, and in this case, America, God is going to lift up that platform, and he will cause the hidden ones to be revealed, so the message we were sent to take will be able. We'll be able to get that message across. That platform door will be open. That makes
Amen.
Me happy, doesn't it?
It does, it does. We're going to see His glory cover the earth through that.
Yes, absolutely.
Our next question, are the 144,000 of Revelation 14 the very elect?
No, they're not. The 144,000, that number represents the whole of God, or the 12 tribes. The very elect, Romans 11, are 7,000, and all of these are spiritual numbers. The 144,000 are going to be Christians who will be deceived by the Antichrist and think he's Jesus and worship him. But when they hear the very elect delivered up to Antichrist, and will speak in the language the whole world will hear, and it'll be televised, it'll be like they hear the truth and they're helpless to resist the truth. They will realize they've been had. They will have fallen away. They will have committed the apostasy of 2 Thessalonians 2. But they will repent at the last minute while they're still in their flesh and come back to God. So then they'll be able to sing with the very elect the Overcomer's Song, which is found in Deuteronomy 32.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
In our last question, somebody wants to know, are you using a teleprompter when you do all this?
Lord have mercy, no. When Mr. Casa says, and now, here, Sherry, and I'll say, God bless you, I'm on a high wire with no safety net and no balancing pole. I completely, totally depend on the Holy Spirit. I study like mad, but no, I have no notes. I mean, even the scripture you hear me read, there are no notes. You just don't understand. I am totally depending on God.
Yeah, I can totally attest to that. I'm the one that has to hold the paper here and read the notes.
You do a good job. Thank you very much,
thank
Scott.
You,
thank you so much. God bless you, Scott Merson. Okay, any of you who are not saved, I want you to come home to God. Please pray this prayer with me. Come home to God. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
I love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Now my announcer will very soon give you my telephone number. Don't go away until he does. And if you were saved, call and tell me so. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beam light of Jesus Christ penetrate into the head, into the skull, stopping dementia, restoring brain cells, into the sinus, into the ears and the eyes and the nose and the throats and the thyroid and the stomachs and the kidneys and the pancreas and the backbone and spine and central nervous system and the feet and the toes. Be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. O Messiah, turn this bed of sickness into recovery in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. Praise ye the Lord. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Now, some of you got healed there. I felt it go through, so call and tell me that too. Well, now it is time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. This is from Leaves of Gold. An old codger, a wise old farmer, is speaking, and he says, does it seem to you that the great schoolmaster has given you an assignment that's too hard for you? The old codger continues, well, I reckon he thought you could bear it. To whom much is given, much is required. You're all invited to come here on Sunday, 5 p.m., and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Remember, not one bit of truth that you get is yours to keep. God will not give you more if you don't share. It is a sin not to tell. How could you be so selfish to hear this truth and not tell? Text, email, call, write, invite to lunch, and tell. Go and tell. That is a part of your destiny. Invite people to hear Trumpet of Truth on the radio, on the internet, to come here. Go and call. Bring them in. It doesn't have to be somebody you know. Go get a stranger. Bring them in. Bring them in. It's your job. Go and do it. Go and tell. And I love all of you. God bless you. Remember this about Jesus Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy word is truth. Now wait for my announcer, and I love you, and I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. The sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name, yeah. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
your spirit free. Have you ever watched a sunrise and felt you could not breathe? What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking? Have you ever cried a tear that you could not explain? Have you ever met a stranger who already knew your name? What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking? What if He's somehow involved? What if He's speaking through it all? Who knows how we'll get a hold of us? Get our attention to prove He is enough. He'll do and He'll use whatever He wants to.
No. You're listening to 91.5 FM, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. And through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. The Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three and one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. And our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe
the joy that's changed. Tortured him in-